This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
La ilaha illallah.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to our series, The Best of Tawheed. What constitutes it? And what goes beyond it, or what doesn't reach it? This is what we're looking at. By understanding the theory, we understand what constitutes Tawheed in Islam. Then we had to look at what violates it to more clearly understand the boundaries. Where are the boundaries which you can't cross? When you cross, you are now in violation. And we have looked at both the theory, the practice, and the violation from the perspective of the various categories into which the principle of Tawheed has been divided. The first category, we said many episodes back, was that of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or maintaining the unity, the unique unity of Allah with regards to his dominion over all things. He is the creator of this world, and nothing happens in this world without his permission. That's his dominion, his lordship. The second was Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, or maintaining the unique unity of Allah with regards to his names and his attributes. Specifically, his attributes. The attributes define who is he and who is not. And we also set the parameters for that. Then we looked at, finally, the fruit from those first two segments of Tawheed. It is all in support of worshipping Allah as He deserves to be worshipped. That's the third category. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, or Tawheed al-Ibadah. It's called this or that, both are the same. Maintaining the unique unity of Allah with regards to His worship. How do we worship Him? According to Tawheed in Islam, the monotheistic view, the truly monotheistic view of God in Islam. After looking at those details, we then went and looked at ways by which these categories are violated. The most common ways around today. In the past, there were others, many others. In our times, there are certain ones which are most dominant. Among them, the amulets. That's for violation of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the amulets. For violation of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, we looked at the concept of Allah in terms of His creation, images made of Him, can we see Him, etc. That aspect of Tawheed is violated when we make images of Him, because we have never seen Him. We can't even see Him in a dream, because we can only dream of things that we have already seen. It's not possible to dream about what we have never seen. The third category, Tawheed al-Ibadah, or maintain the unity of Allah's worship, we're going to be looking at now common ways by which it is violated. In our previous chapters, we did look at the violation of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, also with regards to Allah being in His creation or being outside and beyond His creation. Our belief is violated when we believe that Allah is in everything. He's everywhere and in everything. That violates the true monotheistic belief in Islam. So what we're going to look at now is worship. And in particular, we're going to focus on saint worship, the worship of saints, intermediaries or associates that are given to God. They may be given honorific titles which elevate them in the sight of people. But in the end, it's all about praying to other than Allah. Now, the idea that there are some people who are closer to God than us, that people are on different levels, is a natural idea, as we see people on different levels in so many other aspects of life. Some have more knowledge than us. Some have more strength than us. Some have more property than us. Some have more children than us. Some have more wives than us. People are not equal and the same. There are differences all among human beings. And Allah spoke of those differences when He said, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah has favored some of you over others with regards to sustenance. He has given some of us more than others to be able to look after more than others, or look after better than others. So the favoring is a reality. Some prophets were given certain qualities and certain abilities, and others were not. Allah favored some of the prophets over others. And He said, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Those were the prophets, of whom we favored some over others. Some He spoke to directly, others He didn't. So this issue of favoring is a part of how Allah has created this world. In the case of favoring some over others, in the case of wealth, He had the principle of zakah in place, obligatory charity, and voluntary charity in place, so that people would be in a position to be generous and to share what they have with others. So this quality of generosity could be developed. And that quality makes a human being a better human being in the end. A generous person is better than a person who is not generous. No doubt. So these favors that Allah has given to some human beings over others, it's not just blindly being given, unfairly being distributed. No. For each person who has been given something, there is a responsibility that comes along with it. He or she has more responsibility in their use of what Allah has given them. So it's part of the test. Don't think that simply because you've been favored in one way or another that you're better than others. No. How you handle that favor, this is what now makes you better than others. Than others who had the same favor as you, but they mismanaged it. They mishandled it. Then you are better in that regard. But simply having and others not having doesn't make you better. Yes, Allah favored you. But that favor could be the cause of a bigger punishment, where you would say in the end, I wish I didn't have that favor. But of course, when you had the favor and others didn't, you loved it. But it's part of the test. Similarly, Allah says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Men are guardians of women, by which Allah favored some of them over others. Allah has put men in that position of authority over women. وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And men are one level over women. They have been given greater strength and greater abilities to be able to provide. As women were given greater strength to be able to deliver a child, to be able to carry that child, she has a role and the man has a role. So that favor doesn't mean superiority. It's just a favor in terms of a position that was given, a responsibility came along with it that we all will be asked about. It is across the board that some people are favored over others. And what Allah did was that after telling us all of that, He then said, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Do not wish for what Allah has favored some of you over others with. Allah favored some over the others. Don't wish for it. Because He gave you what He gave you, because what you got is what was appropriate for you. And He gave that other person what He gave them, because that was appropriate for them. And they are tested, as you are tested. But their test is greater in that regard, because they have more. So don't wish for it. Because maybe if you had it, you wouldn't be able to handle it. So this is the principle here, that though Allah is favored, that favor carries responsibility. So we should not wish for what others have, especially wishing to have what they have, and they don't have it. Take it away from them. Give it to me. That is evil. Give me like you gave them. Okay. That's could be good, could be bad. It's middle. But if they were good people with what you gave them and you say, give me like you gave them so I can do good, then it's good. So there are different levels of it. Anyway, we'll be looking further into those who are spiritually higher than others. Can they take the role of intermediary between us and Allah? Can we direct our prayers to them? This is the question. And we'll answer that question in the second half of our program after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back from the break. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to avoid this desire for what others have by saying, don't look at those who have more than you, above you. Look to those who are below you in order that you will remember Allah's favor on you. So when looking to others, it's better to look to others who are less fortunate, who have not received what you have received. Then you will be able to better appreciate what you have. But if you're only looking at those who have more, you will always look at yourself as not having anything. You know? What happened to my life? You're dissatisfied. You're depressed. You know? You're always wanting what others have. You'll never be satisfied. As the Prophet ﷺ had said, if one of Adam's descendants were given a valley of gold, they would want another one. That's just how we are. The grass is always greener on the other side. So we always want what other people have. But chasing What others have is a wretched state to be in. Our lives will be a mess. We will never be happy. So, as the Prophet ﷺ advised us, look to those who have less. If you look at them, then you will appreciate what you have. You'll be thankful to Allah for what was given to you. You'll be contented. You can find contentment. But as long as you're always looking to those above you, wanting and desiring what they have, then you will never be satisfied. The real favor or the real superiority lies not in the material world, but in the spirit. What makes a man or a woman superior to another man or woman? It is not their family, not their wealth, not their looks, but their consciousness of God. In Arabic, it's called taqwa. This is what makes the superior person, taqwa. The person who has a consciousness of God lives a life which is pleasing to God. His or her life becomes a life of worship. And that's what makes them superior. And that is what we should be striving for. A life of righteousness. That we would be blessed with taqwa, consciousness, real consciousness of God, which would guide us through our daily lives, through all the issues, the problems, the difficulties, the hurdles, the good times, everything guided by taqwa becomes good. So we're in a win-win situation all the time, where there is taqwa. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The affair of the believer is amazing. It's amazing. And this is only in the case of the true believer. For if good comes to him or her, they are thankful to Allah, and Allah rewards them for it. And if evil befalls them, they are patient with it, and Allah rewards them for it. The affair of the true believer is amazing. It's win-win all the way. When people often forget Allah, when the good times come, people are successful, they've won, business is this and that. This is the time that people should be thankful. But instead of that, they tend to be so overjoyed with their success, they forget God. Now, when they were struggling on the way up, they were praying all the time. You see them praying, trying to, oh Allah, help me in this, help me in that, help me in the other. They're steadily turning to prayer all the time. Now, once the success comes, they've made it, they stop praying. Or they only pray on occasion. So what happened here? That success really was not a good thing for them. When they were not successful, they were more religious. They were more righteous. When they become successful, now they've become unrighteous. When they're on their way up, they would give charity, believing that charity would make their situation better. When they have it all, now they look down at people. Maybe they don't even want to give away anything. Even though they have stuff to give, they have means, they have wealth, etc. Now they've become very stingy. These things happen. It's quite common. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ had said, the poor will enter paradise 500 years before the rich. The poor will enter paradise 500 years before the rich. So, don't desire to be rich unless you are looking at it from the perspective of doing good with it. You wish you had these riches so you could do this great good. So the goal is taqwa, consciousness of Allah. This is what makes one superior to another. And this was stated in Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th chapter, verse 13. Allah stated in the Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ. Verily, the most noble among you is the one with the most taqwa, the most consciousness of Allah. And that is the goal that we should strive for. And this is what makes one person better than the other. And this is something which ultimately we can't tell what's going on in people's hearts. Of course, there are external signs that indicators that a person is pious or righteous. And we have to judge in the end by what we see externally. But know that the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, he recommended in marriage this consideration as being the most important. The Messenger said, a woman is married for four reasons: her wealth, her nobility, her beauty, and her piety. Choose the pious one and be successful. So he recommended it here. In choice of our spouses, we try to choose those who are most righteous, as far as we can tell. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ had said, if a man whose practice of the religion satisfies you asks your daughter in marriage, you should marry them, otherwise there will be corruption in the land. That marriage is encouraged in Islam, and early marriage is further encouraged. And if this doesn't take place, then people in the prime of their youth, when the hormones are driving them, will end up expressing these things in one way or another. If they cannot be expressed healthily through marriage, then they're going to be expressed unhealthily in corruption, pornography, masturbation, variety of other things that people will end up in to fulfill the desires which should have been fulfilled in marriage. So we should not allow the other considerations, tribalism and other things, nationalism, to stop marriage. Marriage should be encouraged. But the reason for choosing the individual to marry, whether choosing a wife or choosing a husband, should be, the primary reason should be their piety. Of course, after that, if they're good looking, they have means, they're financially well off, whatever, they're from quote unquote good families, then this is all good. This is good too. It's not to say you don't consider it at all. However, priority is that of taqwa, of God consciousness. And on one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ reprimanded Abu Dharr, one of the companions, for derisively calling Bilal, you son of a black woman. After saying that, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, look, surely you are not better than a brown man or a black man, except by fearing Allah more than them. And he, in his farewell pilgrimage, reiterated this point, saying that there was no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab, of the black over the white. The only superiority is in taqwa, in consciousness and fear of Allah. So we said that this is the main criterion for determining who is superior to who. So now when we go to look at spiritual superiority, which would elevate one to become an intermediary between ourselves and God, we need to look at this principle very closely. And we're going to stop here in this segment. Our time has run out. And we will see you in our coming segment, in which we will look more deeply into the concept of saint worship. We now bid you farewell. Hope to see you in the next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islamic Online University prevents you with the golden opportunity to study the various branches of Islamic studies from the comforts of your home. Now, you get to study at your own time schedule and at a pace that suits you best. IOU is the brainchild of Dr. Bilal Phillips, who envisioned an institution that would offer undergraduate and postgraduate courses online and completely tuition-free.
Choose from the widest range of programs that you can ever imagine. Bachelor's in Islamic Studies, Intensive Arabic Program, Global Quran Memorization Program, Bridge to Master's in Islamic Studies, bachelor's, certificate, and diploma in psychology, education, Islamic finance, business administration, and information technology. And the crown, master's in Islamic studies.
Our syllabus is based on the bachelor's degree program of Madina University, Om Dhurman Islamic University, Al-Azhar University, and other reputable Islamic institutions. Your journey to acquire Islamic knowledge is just a click away. Islamic Online University. Changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm.